Again, I give you a very warm welcome. Thank each one for coming. And before we open the Word of God, we'll speak to God in prayer. Father, we thank thee for thy goodness and for the Spirit of God that worketh among men. We thank thee that the door is still open. We thank thee that salvation is offered. We give thanks for thy word that it can be opened tonight and read in public, and that sinners can hear and discover that there is a way out. There is a place of pleasure forevermore that can be had in the presence of a Savior who loves them. So our Father, we ask for help tonight, not just for ourselves, Scott and I, but for those in the audience, that they would be not distracted, that they would think solemnly about their soul and the eternity that lies before. So, Father, we ask for help tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to open to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 12. John 8 and verse 12 says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And we'll turn back to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27 and verse 45. Verse 45 says, "Now from the sixth hour," just to clarify, this is the crucifixion. This is a time in history where God came from heaven, presented himself to a world in the form of humanity, and men took him and nailed him to a cross. So, excluding man's hatred for the God of heaven, why they would ever do this for someone who never sinned, excluding that, the Lord Jesus Christ was there as a sacrifice, as a substitution for you, as payment for sin. And there now suffering on the cross for several hours in the heat of the noonday sun in that Middle Eastern country. It says in verse 45, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, or interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And one more, we'll just flip back to the Gospel of John again in chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, "And this is the condemnation." So this is the reason why someone without Christ is condemned. "That light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved." Nobody minds being in the wide open, in the view of everybody, if they're doing good. nobody minds showing themselves off if everything is going right, and you think that you're within acceptable limits of what everybody would think is normal or good or mostly good. But when people do evil, they like to hide. We think of Adam and Eve in the beginning of our Bible, that when they knew, when the thought came into them that we've done wrong, the first thing they wanted to do was hide. You know, God came down to walk with them in the cool of the day, and he said something that he never had to say before. He said, "Where art thou?" And they were hiding. And right up to today, 2025, people are no different. And, you know, when we come in this room and we flick the lights on, you can't bring in a pocket of darkness and the darkness will overpower that light. It can't do it. The room can be dark, and as soon as you turn the light on, the darkness is gone. Man will push away God at every cost just to stay in darkness. Maybe you're looking for a way out tonight, and I hope you are. I hope you've come here tonight looking for a way out. Do you think of this verse, John 3 and verse 19? You look at this and say, and it says, and this is the condemnation. This is what condemns you. You'd rather stay in the darkness than go into the light. The Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world, the light that's come down from heaven to shine light on everything. When I go to look for a part number on something, I don't go to a dark corner of the room. I go into the light where I can see it. Most of the business done in this world is done in the daylight. Darkness comes and the town starts to slow down. If you're in O'Leary here, they even almost roll up the sidewalks. But it's a time to rest. It's a time to go home and a time to sleep. You don't do much in the darkness. But mostly, I'm going to say 99.9% of the time, if you're going to get robbed, it's going to be in the darkness. Wanda and I lived in Bakersfield, California I was just there 9 months or so. And I remember her saying that there's a part of town, there's bars on the windows. You'd go from a really nice part of town and like one more block over and everybody had bars on the windows. But it seemed pretty normal during the day. But as soon as nighttime come, you'd drive through there and there'd be the police would have the lights flashing. They'd have somebody down on the sidewalk and handcuffed behind their back. And it was a different place when darkness came. But this was an example the Lord Jesus used. This is really a spiritual darkness. Of you not wanting to obey God, you not wanting to admit your sin. I didn't come here tonight to condemn you. Even the Lord Jesus said, you know, I didn't come here to condemn you. I came here to save. So all we can do is point you to the Lord Jesus. But all I'm saying is there's a way. There's a road that every one of us are born on, a way we've come into this world, and it seems to be a way where we seek darkness. We're all sinners coming into this world. Nobody's any different. But God has made a way. The Lord Jesus says, I'm the light. I'm the light. He also says, I am the door. So from the broad road leading down to destruction, where we're all born on, God has made a way off. And it's simple and it's easy. You may say tonight, well, I've been trying to think of that for years. Well, tonight you could have it, and after you have it, you'll realize it was simple. All I had to do was believe God. I've told it a few times in the past. It's coming. I said to Daryl the other day, you know, it's been 21 years since you came out to that car and invited me to a gospel meeting. And maybe some people are sick of hearing me tell how I was saved, but I just thought that it might relate to somebody in the meeting tonight. You know, you may look at me and, you know, if you're a young person, you might look at me and say, well, you're old. Well, in February, I'll be 60. But I was young once too, and I lived a lot of my life not saved. I was, I often think I was like the man in the Bible. He was 38 years in that condition, and that was me. Well, I was brought up in a place where we went to a, it wasn't like this. It was, I was brought up Jehovah's Witness. So we went out to these church meetings twice a week, sometimes three times a week. And I was just made to follow along, and told a certain thing. And it was just, you listen and do what they say, and you'll be fine. And if I'm doing something, I like to know why. I like to research it and know why. Well, I didn't know why I was doing this. And I felt pretty miserable by times and couldn't understand, you know, I basically couldn't love somebody that I didn't know. So how can I serve this God, supposedly, that I don't know? So I went just day after day. Maybe you're going through life day after day and just, well, see what happens. I was thinking about that the other day. I knew a man that fell overboard one time. And I said this the other night to, I forget, maybe it was Wanda. And he just laid there in the water doing nothing. Well, when they did pull him up and pull him in, he said, well, I just thought I'd see what happened. Well, on a serious note, you can't do anything to save yourself. But you should strive for this. We sang that hymn, do not quench the spirit. If God is talking to you, don't push it away. Tomorrow may be too late. So I went through my young years in school being half miserable all the time and just wanting to get out and do whatever I wanted in the world and be like everybody else. And I didn't realize that in a spiritual way, I was like everybody else. But I wanted to do the worldly things. And when I reached a certain age, probably 17 or 18, I went to my mother and I said, I'm not going there anymore. I'm done. And my father, he never went, so he didn't have much to do with it. It was kind of like him and I then, you know, and got to stay home on Sunday morning and watch Gunsmoke. And anyway, I was basically given free rein to do whatever I wanted. I was told I had a roof over my head and food to eat, but I didn't have some of the extra things that the others had. My mother was kind of bitter over me not going out anymore. So that was fine with me. There was lots of mornings. I got home at 2 in the morning, and a lot I didn't remember getting home. There was always another party to go to, and they're all empty. You think, well, this is going to be the best night ever, and by the time it was all done, it was like, oh, it was kind of boring, and you wake up the next day and just do it all over again. But it was just like a carrot hanging in front of the donkey's face, just leading them on to the next day, and the next day, and then year after year, and year after year. And all I did was The Bible says that there's a book that all our transgressions are written in. And mine was just getting thicker and thicker and thicker. I'll ask you tonight in the meeting. The Bible says that all have sinned and that you're a sinner before God and you need salvation. What are you going to do about the book that's being written about you? We read in Revelation that the books will be opened and all the things that we ever did will be in that light. They won't be in darkness. They'll be manifest in light, and we'll be like Adam and Eve. Not me. The Lord has saved me. But you'll be like Adam and Eve. You'll be wanting to hide. When those things that you've done all your life against God, maybe things you don't think are that important. I've done mountains of those things in my life, and I've done greater things that I'm ashamed of. Well, I never thought about them. I never thought about being judged. I didn't know, even though I had a book, a Bible in front of me my whole life, I didn't know. I never read it and really studied into what was going to happen to me. I married my wife, Wanda, and whenever we had children, she wanted to bring them up in a Sunday school. And I said, oh, just wherever you want to go. You pick the place and I'll go. And we went to the little church beside our place once, maybe twice, and we didn't really get much out of it. It just seemed empty to us, no real teaching. I didn't know, was it really? My wife knew what the benchmark was, because she was out to gospel meetings when she was young. She never told me that when we were married or dating. But anyway, she knew that there was nothing there, and I knew there was nothing there in this place. So at the time, I think Pam was babysitting the kids, and between Wanda's mom and the McKenzies, they invited our kids out to some children's meetings, and I was still going through my life, just happy to be in darkness, just happy to be just not caring about God or not looking to the end of my life, not looking to judgment. And I'd promised my wife that I would go to gospel meetings. I'll come out once a week. And she thought it would be good that I come out to the gospel meeting. And she was right. And I started looking at what these men were preaching about in this Bible. And I could line it up. And if I went on a Sunday morning, I could see what they were doing, and it's in here. And it's just the way they're doing it. And I looked at different people around me. I looked at Lois and Peggy's mom and David's mom. I often think of her. I looked at her in the community, and I couldn't see where she ever did anything wrong. Boy, she's a pretty good person. She goes there. And it wasn't because of her good works, but I knew that I knew what kind of person she was. That's what it boiled down to. And I knew what kind of person I was. So I went and I listened to men preach the gospel and opened this book. And there was verses read that I never thought of. Verses about the two doors, the two roads, one leading to destruction, one leading to heaven. And there's a door that you could go through to get off the broad road. And learning about judgment, the condemnation. This is the condemnation. I love darkness rather than light. Oh dear. And I started to realize I was in trouble. And I remember one Sunday, we had just come back from the little gospel hall out in Springfield West. And two feeble men came from the Kingdom Hall in Alberton. And they tried to get me to come back. And they talked and they said, well, it's like this. And it's like, it's likened to this. And it's, and I just thought, these men are so ridiculous. They just, this doesn't make any sense. And I started defending what was being preached out at the gospel hall. I wasn't saved. But it started to dawn on me about what was really in the Bible. And it started to dawn on me that I was in trouble. And have you ever thought about that tonight? Anybody here that's not saved, have you ever thought that I'm in real trouble? If I step out these doors tonight and get in a car and I get in an accident and I'm all of a sudden shuttled off into eternity and have to stand before God, what's going to happen? The Bible tells us. You can find your answers in here. And I started realizing that I would stand before him with no place to hide. And it would be total light. And my deeds would be reproved. And I came out of a gospel meeting one night. I think it was Brody Thibodeau who spoke. And he spoke about making a decision. I always credited myself with believing that there was a God and believing in creation. I always believed that. There's no other way. But I gave myself credit for that. And Brody said that night, he said, you'll make a decision going out this door whether you accept or reject the Lord Jesus. And that struck me, and I didn't like it. And I didn't like to think of myself as being one who rejected God. And it bothered me. But I still couldn't wait to get out that door. I went out to the car, and Daryl followed me out just to say hello, I think. And I just I confessed to him. I just blurted out. Nothing even having to do with the conversation that he started. I just said, Daryl, I know that he was talking about me tonight, and I'm tired of feeling this way. And Daryl being Daryl, he instantly thought of gospel meetings that were going on in Crapo, and he said, there's gospel meetings there. Would you like to go tomorrow night? I said, I would, but I can't go tomorrow night. I already had a commitment I couldn't get out of. But I'll go the next night. And we never did get to Crapo, but meetings started in Springfield West with this young man here and Peter Orzok. And poor Peter Orzok would meet me almost every evening at the door and ask me if I got anything. And I said, no, I'm still trying to figure it out. Well, Peter knew that you couldn't figure out. You just had to believe. And he'd get the kind of a scrunched up face whenever I'd say about figuring it out. And he'd go and preach his heart out. And I can't remember too much of what was being spoken on those nights. But it was at the Sunday night after that first week. So it started on a Tuesday night. It was that Sunday night. And Dean and Melissa had given us a copy of Mr. Ramsey's personal testimony. And Wanda and I decided to listen to it when we got home. And the introduction drug on quite a bit. And I'd been pretty tired from being up late every evening. And I ended up falling asleep through the whole thing. And, oh, couldn't believe it. The only man in history that ever fell asleep in one of Mr. Ramsey's messages. So when it was all over, Wanda woke me up and we went up the stairs. And then because of my little cat nap on the couch, then I couldn't sleep when I got upstairs. So Daryl had given me a little piece of paper with Bible verses on it. I still have it. And I remembered some of them off by heart. And I said, I might as well make good use of my time. And I just started thinking of some of the verses. And I came to 1 Timothy 1:15 that said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And And I the thought just came over me. I'm him. I'm the dirty, rotten sinner that he came for. That's me. And light flooded in. And I understood for the first time that Jesus died for me. So maybe you lived a wild and tumultuous, I can't say it, crazy life. Maybe you've been a good person. Through my different times in my life, I tried to clean my life up just without Christ, just tried to clean it up. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You're still the same sinful person with the same big, thick book that will be opened up on Judgment Day. And what about you tonight? Do you want to stay in darkness and hide from God? Or do you want to be free from your sin? And when I say free, I mean it. When I trusted the Lord Jesus and was saved that night at 12:22 in the morning, I felt like a tremendous weight had been lifted off of me. And I felt new and clean. And I remember there's two men I'd spent a lot of time with. And we didn't do great things together, but nevertheless, I called them my friends at the time. And after I was saved, I walked up to those two and I stuck my hand out to shake their hand, and the two of them took a step back like I was a ghost. And you think, well, I wouldn't want to lose all my friends if I was saved. I'll tell you tonight, you'll gain so much more. I've gained family and friends and a home in heaven and my sins forgiven and peace with God. And you can have all that tonight if you just trust him.